It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Wednesday morning in New York City, what is up? It is the Boomer and Geo program on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Coming to you live in the Built for Tough studio. The number to get in, 888-808-1019 is the number. We've got lots to do today. The two baseball clubs had themselves a good night. You had the Mike Brown press conference yesterday, introduced as a new Knicks head coach. The quarterback dropped on Netflix. We will get to all of that and more. The comedian Jeff Ross will stop by in the 8 o'clock hour in studio, so that will be fun. And doing all of it with me today is the one, the only, Willie. Hello, Willie, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, babe?
I'm doing good. This is one of these days. It's funny, Al and I came in yesterday, and there was nothing in terms of sports that was out there from Monday night, and it was more. And it was probably a good day to have Al in for these sports adjacency stories, as we like to call them. But today's a little different. Today, there's a whole hell of a lot going on. And, you could start with either team. I'm going to start with the Mets last night in Baltimore, only from this, the Yankees had a rocking chair type of game. I know it was tight and not many runs scored for half the game, but they kind of pulled away and they were up 10-0 at one point. The Mets are down 6-2 last night in Baltimore. And, we talked on Monday, you win 2 out of 3 from Milwaukee, 2 out of 3 from the Yankees. You feel pretty good about yourselves, but one thing you didn't want to see them do was to go to Baltimore, a team that's had a down season, they haven't been good, and then drop the first game of the series.
Right. Lo and behold, they were on their way to do so, and then, as Steve Cohen called them, the Fabulous Four. Nimmo and Lindor.
Yeah.
And Soto, and a lot. It's a hell of a win last night.
And don't forget Ronnie Mauricio.
Yeah, for sure.
And he's been great. I thought his glove was awesome, and obviously, I think last night was indicative of just really... I thought Young was going to just mow him down. Obviously, he got into the sixth, and he got himself in some trouble, and they pulled him. But you needed a win like this, and you needed Soto to continue his campaign going into the All-Star break. And
sure.
I thought he's done a great job of making the case that he should be on the roster. So to see, to your point, all bats on deck and everybody making an impact in that game, it was great. And you got to credit Lindor for popping it off, off with him.
So. No, and it's so funny. There's two things about that inning specifically. So you've got... Gary on SNY is talking, I would say, maybe a pitch or two prior, talking about how, the Mets are looking to have, that big at-bat in that big inning. And it was either a pitch, maybe two, where he hits the home run to kind of get them going. And then how many times have we watched a game and we have sat there, you've heard an announcer say it, or even like playing in high school, hey, down two, just need a bloop and a blast. And that Soto
exactly what
base happened. Base hit was a bloop. And then the Alonzo blast, and next thing you know, the game's even. And you give a lot of credit to, I think, Edwin Diaz and then Brazoban for really bouncing back. Very good ninth and tenth innings. And if you're, not that we're going to discuss much about the Orioles, but if you're an Orioles fan, that is a brutal loss in a game that you kind of feel like you had won. And if you're a Met fan, you feel great about it because you kind of continue your winning ways. The guys that you need to carry this team did the job last night. And it's just another one off the calendar now. And now it's all of a sudden you look up, it's not a couple of series in a row. Now it's 5 of the last 7.
Yeah, and to your point also, you watch that game, and like I mentioned earlier, you think Young is going to really kind of dog walk this thing out because he was just so great.
You mean Holmes?
Clay Holmes, excuse me. And he gets beat up. And you're saying to yourself, man, this isn't good. But I think a lot has to do with being responsive, man. And that's why... this time of year, you want to start seeing character pop, right? A lot of these guys could say, we got a couple of days coming up. Let's just figure this thing out and kind of get to the break. They didn't. They rallied and they fought. And that's just a testament to where this team's at, man. They just keep going.
And, with Holmes, so you're right. The sixth inning was a mess.
Yeah.
What's so bizarre about that sixth inning is he goes on the leadoff batter. So, he's through 5, and they have a 2-1 lead. Everything's going well. And he goes 0-2 on the first batter. I don't remember who it was, but he's 0-2 on him. And you're thinking, you're right. He's just going to continue on doing what he's doing. He's getting ground ball outs. And then he hits the batter. And then you get the base, on an 0-2 pitch, on a terrible slider inside, he hits the back foot of the batter. Then
and
you
this
get
place is rocking at this point. The fans are in it.
And a lot of Met fans, too, by the way,
true.
In the building. A lot of Met fans in the building. But yes, it was a decent crowd, and the place was. And then it was base hit after base hit. Next thing you know, they're trailing again. You look up at 6-2, and it's like, wow, that happened very quickly. He's out of the game. And, you're thinking, rough start to a series. But You give them. Now, the one thing about this team that has been right from day one, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but can you think of a time so far this season where Lindor, Alonso, and Soto all at the same time have been great? Because I don't think we've seen, like, last night was an example of what it can be.
Not this year, because
we haven't seen it, right?
No, we haven't, because Soto started off so rough, right? And McNeil had kind of, you know, I know you're talking about Lindor and Alonso, I'm just talking about the overall group. But nevertheless, I think everybody's just starting to hit their stride. It feels like it right now, especially last night is indicative of that. But no, I don't think we've had a moment like that. I think Alonso's been great. I think Lindor has been money. It's just a matter of Soto kind of getting out of his rut. I think he's, I mean, one player the month of June.
Yep.
So,
and getting very comfortable.
And getting very comfortable as well. So I think it's just, I think right now everybody's hitting their stride.
No question about it. And it's, you know, they had that 3-13 stretch in June. Horrific. We know that losing streak, all of that. It happens. I mean, the LA Dodgers right now, who are as good as anybody, yep, they're in the midst of a 5-game losing streak. It's the ups and the downs of a season. So you just hope as a Met fan that they went through the June swoon, as we like to call it. And perhaps now, you know, again, go win this series. I mean, you always want the sweep, but go take 2 out of 3, win the series.
Go get it.
You keep doing that, you're going to be one of the best teams in the league, if not the best team.
And
in
you
the league.
Stated this the other day. It's a good time to have Kodai and those guys come back too.
For sure.
Especially after last night. So, yeah, I think the Mets, it was a gritty win, and they pulled it out, and you needed the big bats pop. And I think, once again, credit Lindor, credit Alonso, and credit Soto, man, because I think we talked about having that type of mental edge. There was so much expected of him because of his contract. For him to be responsive in the month of June going into July, man, this is indicative of that, man. He's worth the money right now.
I think when you sign a guy to a big contract and they get off to a tough start, you know, you think adjustment period. And I think a lot of people didn't think there would be that because Soto did not leave New York. I mean, mm-hmm, it was Yankees to Mets. But
that's a good point.
But there still is a comfortability about a new team, new franchise, new building, new everything.
Yeah, especially because, the people across the street hate your guts now, right? And they feel
like... We certainly saw that.
Right. Well, it's true because I think for a lot of Mets fans, they feel like they gave you their heart and love, and you turned around and it wasn't enough. And in Valley, he earned it. I mean, he had MVP numbers for the Yankees. But overall, it felt like a match made in heaven. So for a lot of Yankees fans watching Soto cross the street, it was just like, well, what went wrong?
Like why?
We was in the World Series. Yep. Like, what else? You know, what else do you want? Compared to a team that, you know, last year, at one point, they were thinking about selling, right? And they kind of rallied towards late in the season. So he had to overcome all that, you know, even when his first appearance back at the stadium, getting booed and people yelling at him. That, we talk about mental edge and being mentally tough through all that. And so much is made of body language and being responsive and not feeling like, you know, you're soaking it all in rather than being more Teflon about it. So, yeah, I mean, Soto... I got to give him his credit and his flowers right now. He's humming.
Yeah, he is humming. The Mets are right now in a good spot going into Baltimore again for another game tonight. They've got 5 games left before the break, 3 with Kansas City at the end, and yes, Senga, and we do expect Manaea to pitch this weekend. So all would be right with them if they can take care of business going into the break. As for the Yankees, you know, last night you've got the Mariners coming. Good team, not a great team, but a team with a little bit of pop, obviously, with Cal Raleigh, who wound up homering last night.
Banged one.
Game's also over at that point.
Center.
You know, there's so much conversation about what the Yankees are, what the Yankees can be. Are they a World Series team? I mean, they were a year ago. I know it's different. I know Soto isn't here. I know Garrett Cole is injured, but they have reshuffled. They've got good players. A lot of those players last night had something to do with it. Jazz Chisholm again producing. Paul Goldschmidt gave you a little bit of an effort. But, you know, it still comes down to, in my opinion, even if you're going to go back to the World Series for a second, and I do think this case needs to be made, and it's not to point out or call out Aaron Judge by any stretch, but, you know, if Aaron Judge has a better World Series and hits with runners in scoring position, we might be sitting here talking about the Yankees being a World Series champion. Like, they were that close to winning it all. Now, you look to where they are today and the season he's having. He had his swoon, too.
Yep.
But, boy, does he look back, and the ball is flying off the bat again. When he is going well, and then if you're going to throw Giancarlo Stanton into the mix.
Well, I was going to say that.
I mean.
Yeah, Stanton is the one for me. I mean, listen, everything that Judge has done and continues to do is expected in my eyes. I think Stanton, for him to find his groove And I mean, when he banged down one right off the right field, I was just like, yeah, this is to have Big G back in the lineup and looking the way he looks right now. This is when you say the Yankees, there's a shot because you need his back, right?
No doubt.
And obviously Chaz being responsive. And this overall, man, I'm never surprised what Judge does. It's just a matter of what everybody else does around him.
Understood. Now, I'm on record. I think he's the best I've ever seen, meaning Judge. I think he's that good. I think he plays a very good outfield. I'm not saying he's, you know, the greatest outfielder I've ever seen, but he's a very good outfielder. He's given you center field, right field. He can do it all. He can DH. He hits for power, hits for average. For a big guy, he can run the bases. There's just, to me, nothing in my life that I've ever seen like him. You can put Ohtani up there. That's fine, too. But he's that good. He's just got to do it in the postseason. The problem for the Yankees would be, and that's where the trade deadline comes into play, they need to fix their pitching has to be deeper because of the injuries they've sustained. Of I know course, Heel's yeah. coming back hopefully within the month, I guess, something like that. But, you know, that would be the one thing that I think could hold them back, obviously, would be the pitching. So if they figure that out, they make a deal or two. That I see no reason why this team doesn't chase down the Blue Jays, you know, three games out, and then go on and do what they've done.
But I also got to credit this team. There's so much going into this game, right? With Chaz going to second.
Sure.
People are now, you know, if you read the headlines, people were tired of Aaron Boone. You know,
like, well, that's been going on for years.
Yeah, but it felt like I think going into yesterday's game was like, They were putting him on the grill, and it was like, all right, enough is enough. You know, you're not being. We need more out of you, and we're not getting it. And listen, I think after the rain delay was huge because that's when we felt like we kind of gassed up and made a run. But overall, man, you needed a win like that, two straight. You needed.
Yeah, no. It's funny you say after the rain delay and the run. How about the inning too? I mean, there you go into. I guess it was 1-0. They're up 1-0 in the sixth. Four pitches. It was the first. I think it was the first pitch base hit by Judge. You got the next first pitch, and then the home run.
Yes,
and it was like it was 1-0, 4-0, and the I forget the pitcher's name for the Mariners, but on the was that who it was at that point? So yeah, I think it was still at that point.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
He at one point with the base hit to Judge, his arms go up in the air, and then when he gives up the home run to Stanton, you can tell he's just so disgusted with himself.
Well, because he was killing. And you saw it in his face. And yes. Every time he stepped off the mound after completing the inning, you can see his shoulders got bigger, right? He started like, I'm in New York. I'm killing the Yankees right now. The rain delay happens. And we come back up, and we're just knocking the hell out the baseball. And he goes, why now? More than ever, why now?
Pretty much. And then he felt like the game was over at that point because Will Warren pitched well and everything was going their way. They were getting good production. But this is what you need to see from the Yankees. And so the same way I say with the Mets, finish out the week and you'll feel really good about yourselves. Go. I mean, look at that number that CBS Sports Network put up. Judge and Stanton in line with Ruth, Gehrig, Mantle, and Berra in terms of most games with home runs by a duo. That's pretty good company right there. And think of how much time Stanton's missed with injury. What it really could be.
Well, it's a confidence thing for him, especially when you talk about, I don't want to be redundant, but momentum is everything. You know, you don't want to go into the break feeling like you're still behind when you're watching the rest of the team kind of game win, you know, and I think Stanton right now is doing that within the lineup.
And the Blue Jays did win again, so that's 10 straight for them. The Yankees remain three and a half back, whatever it is. So I think a good night for both these teams. Did you happen to see the ending of the Giants-Phillies game? But I don't expect you to have. Did you, any idea how that thing ended?
No. My wife is, I was reading lines with my wife. My wife is going into, she's an actress. So
I didn't know that.
She had to read some lines, so I was.
You were the stand-in?
I was in scene.
Good for you.
Yeah.
She's trying out today, or she actually has a job that she's
She has an audition today somewhere. So
very good.
Yeah.
Well, good.
So between trying to catch the game and end scene, I was doing that. So.
Well, I will tell you, the Phillies dropped one in, I don't think I've ever seen, maybe it's been done before.
Okay.
Game-winning home run. Why is that so crazy? Inside the park home run.
Oh, wow.
How about that to end the game? That's cool. That might be.
I don't think I've ever witnessed one in person.
Look at that. And CBS Sports Network has it. And that stadium, I've been there. That stadium is phenomenal.
Is it really?
And yeah, it is really awesome. And then to see that ball bounce off the wall and to get all around. Think about it. You're down to, I know there's two guys on and the ball almost goes over the wall anyway.
Oh, they're going crazy.
But that might be one of the most exciting finishes to, I won't say any sport, but to a baseball game that you can find.
How loud does it get?
I would think pretty cool.
Better than the zoo?
Better than what?
The Bronx Zoo?
Well, I don't know how many people were in the building for that, but okay. I would say pretty good. All right, so I'll ask you guys, because I know we've talked about this. Al, you're on record taking away a home run to end the game. Most exciting, right? Going over the wall. Would you go home run, Eddie, or a game-winning catch over the wall?
I would probably still go home run.
You would go home run. Okay. And Willie, you would say, I'm going to throw the inside the park home run into
so
the
for
mix
most
too.
Exciting?
Yeah. The most exciting finish to a game. Because I would say, before what I saw last night, I would say down three runs, the grand slam with two out in the ninth would be about as good as it gets. I see Al's point by making the catch to take away the home run that might have tied or won the game. That's kind of cool. This might be, though. I don't know that
how
you get better.
How about throw at the plate, slide it in?
Yeah. I don't know. I guess if that's the tying run and you win it on the tag out.
Yeah.
I suppose. Yeah. I think I would take the catch over that, although that might be a more fundamentally nice play.
Sure.
I think what I saw last night. And by the way, what I saw on the highlights, because I wasn't up watching it either at 1 a.m., that might be the most exciting finish to a game.
Have you ever seen one in person?
No.
I don't think I've ever witnessed one in person.
No, the only cool thing I've witnessed in person would be the no-hitter I saw in Houston a couple of years ago.
Mm.
Other than that, I've never seen an inside-the-park home run. I don't think I've even seen too many like game winners in the ninth inning.
I'm just trying to think of all the Yankee games I've been to in all of sports, like even basketball. I don't think I've seen anything.
Well, how many are there? In the history of baseball, how many inside the park home runs are there? There can't be a lot.
I ain't got it.
And I wouldn't count like pre-19. I don't know what the fields were like in the like 20s and 30s. But if you think about modern baseball, especially when the stadiums got just very sterile and round, things like that don't happen like last night. That's the cool part of that stadium.
Yeah, I just think like an inside the park home run. Those are things that hopefully you're there with your son and you like remember that. Those are memories for life.
No
That's
doubt.
The type of play that happens.
And to win the game on it's pretty cool too. So anyway, good win for the Mets. Good win for the Yankees. We are just getting started. CeeLo is going to have a ton of sound to get to because we have the Mike Brown press conference from yesterday. I don't know if I'll have anything from quarterback, but I got a whole bunch of things on that. I want to bounce off you with the Kirk Cousins, Jared Goff, and Joe Burrow.
Burrow.
So we will get to that maybe at 8 o'clock, and then we do have comedian Jeffrey Ross coming in.
I'm excited about it.
Yeah, so am I. He's got a one man show that's going to start on Broadway. I think it's a short run. I think it's like a month.
One man.
Yeah, it's August. It starts August 5th. So we will get to him live in studio in the 8 o'clock hour as well. It's Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, great to have you with us. 6:25. It is Wednesday. Jerry and Willie in for Boomer and Geo. In for me is Chris Lopresti, who will join us whenever he feels like it. That'll be coming up in just a moment. Jeff Ross coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Looking forward to that. We will get to Quarterback, the documentary, which dropped on Netflix yesterday, as a matter of fact. I only got to watch the first episode. I will try to watch more. I don't know how many drive. Al, did the whole thing, I know you saw the first episode too. Did the whole thing?
Yeah, there was at least seven episodes.
Okay, so it's not like one a week. So
yeah,
what
they're all there.
All right, so maybe I'll check out episode number two. Coming up tonight. But in for me is Chris Lopresti. He has settled in. What's up, Chris?
Good morning. We're brought to you by Sansone Auto Mall, Woodbridge, New Jersey. Rain delays in both games last night at different stages, but they did get them in. The Mets trailing the Orioles 6-2 in the eighth at Camden Yards, and that's when Francisco Lindor stepped to the plate and got the comeback really started.
The 1-0 is cranked high in the sky to center field and deep. Mullins on the run. It is gone. Straight away center field bomb for Lindor. That gets the Mets right back in it.
Keith Radd, Odyssey Mets Radio, 425-foot two-run homer. Juan Soto followed with a single and then a matching two-run shot from Pete Alonso to tie the game. And the Mets end up beating the Orioles in 10-7-6 on a Soto RBI single. The win to Edwin Diaz, a toss to scoreless ninth, and the save to Huascar Brazoban. So that's 5 out of 6 for the Mets, who showed no quit in this one. Here was Alonso afterwards.
It really wasn't. We were sticking with our approach, and we did a great job of staying composed 1 through 9 in the lineup. We put together some great at-bats, and we fought and clawed, and we were able to come back and win it, which is really exciting.
Pete, a post-game guest, on Odyssey Mets Radio. He was 2-for-4 with the homers. Soto, 3 hits, including that go-ahead single in the 10th. You had the Lindor home run. 2-hit games from Beatty and Nimmo. Ronnie Mauricio went deep in this one. Lindor says this is what this offense is capable of.
When we are at our best, we make pitchers execute. And if they don't execute,
we execute. So I'm sure that could be very challenging.
And they needed the offense to overcome what was a rough sixth inning for Clay Holmes, who had pitched well up until that point. And
isn't it, I know all of us have watched baseball our whole lives. It's amazing to me how when a team goes into a collective funk, no one seems to be able to get out of it. And then once they start going, everybody can kind of pile on.
What do they say, Jerry? Hitting is contagious?
Yeah, no, I know. And so is not hitting.
Yeah, very true. As far as Holmes goes, something to kind of monitor the rest of the way in terms of his innings and his workload as he started to show some signs of slowing down a little bit. So on that note, Sean Manaea had another rehab outing at AAA Syracuse last night. 3 2/3, 4 hits, 3 runs, a walk, 5 Ks. Stat line doesn't really matter. As long as he comes through it okay,
yep.
The plan is reportedly to piggyback him with Holmes on Sunday in the final game before the All-Star break. So Holmes would likely start, followed by Manaea, and then they can figure out the rotation after they get back from the All-Star break. But it sounds like they don't want Holmes to go. You would think maybe, hey, give him a little extended break, but the Mets are of the opinion that they want him to get one outing in, maybe limited innings, get Manaea a shot before the break, and then they can stack things up once they come out of the All-Star break. Looking ahead to tonight, sorry, did you want to add something there?
No, I'm sorry. I did a gulp. I was swallowing my coffee.
What are you, Joe Beningo over there, drinking your coffee on the air?
I was trying to sip while you wasn't talking.
All right.
The mic picked it up.
David Peterson and Tomoyuki Sugano this time around, a 7:05 first pitch on Odyssey Mets Radio as that series down in Baltimore continues. So the Mets are now even with the Phillies atop the NL East. I know you guys just referenced it going into the break because this happened last night in San Francisco with the Phils up 3-1, ninth inning, couple of runners aboard for the Giants.
Patrick hits a high drive, deep right center field. This one is off the top of the wall, and it ricochets, and it's rolling on the warning
still
track.
Running.
Two runs are in.
I mean, anywhere else, that's a home run, right?
Probably.
I mean, am I wrong?
I don't know what the length is to right field there.
It's an inside the park.
Because it hits the top of the wall right
didn't
there.
Didn't it say...
I didn't.
I think it said 4:15. It's a poke out.
Oh,
there.
Is it really?
Okay. I thought that's what
and
it said.
And probably not a home run in a lot of other ballparks.
Okay. That's what it said.
And that was the top of the wall. And that was, Al, do you remember when you and I had the little mandate in San Francisco when we walked down there to see the stadium?
Yeah,
remember what they were setting up for?
Metallica.
Yeah, very. Could you imagine seeing Metallica in San Francisco? That seems
cool. I remember that. That was a big thing, right?
I would certainly think so.
Was that during
Super Bowl?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yes.
That ball rolled and rolled and rolled.
Yes,
that was quite the ricochet.
Very cool.
Actually deeper in that right center than in dead center. I think dead center just saw 391, 415.
I was at that stadium once, and my younger son, who at the time he was probably five, maybe six. He decided that the Coke slide in left field was more fun than watching the baseball game. And I literally missed 4 innings of the game.
That's my biggest fear. I haven't taken my son to a Yankees game yet. And I'm just like, I'm not paying attention.
Well, does he like baseball? If not, then
we started T-ball this year. So
okay. There's no Coke slide at the stadium. So
that is true.
Yeah. Is that happening with the big glove out there in left field?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think every parent's pressured for your kid's first game. You want all the bells and whistles. You want to get the hats, the glove, and all that other nonsense.
Sure.
And then you don't want to look up in the second inning. He's like, Dad, I'm over this. You're like, dude.
Well, so my older son, we went to Yankee Stadium, his first game. Remember Craig had those bleacher seats? He bought the season tickets in the bleachers.
That.
He gave me the tickets for like a Saturday game. I think they were playing Cleveland. I'm almost certain of it. And I guess my son was 5 or 6 at the time. So we go, bleachers, and I'm nuts. I get there 2 hours before. I hate being pressured into getting in to make it for first pitch. So we got there 2 hours ahead. We go to Hard Rock. We had lunch. We get in. The game is great. It was a little chilly. And I'm not kidding. Top of the third inning, he's like, almost done.
For me, that's brutal.
My God.
Because I get warmed up as a game. You have a couple beers. You're eating dogs. You're looking at the crowd. You know, you're just having a day, and your son is like, I'm over this.
Time to go.
We can wrap it all up.
We made it to the fourth, I believe.
And you left.
Yeah, well, I wasn't a Yankee fan, so if I wanted to leave, we left. But we still had the experience, and now he will stay to the very end of every game he goes to.
But it's like fighting the traffic, parking, to
well,
your point.
Well, that's true,
getting
there, especially from Jersey. It's rough.
Not easy.
Yeah.
I've always said easier to go to Philadelphia than to Citi Field or Yankee Stadium.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes Baltimore.
Yeah, it can be. That is true.
Last night. I didn't look at the number, but it definitely was a good crowd. Giants won that game over the Phillies, by the way, 4-3. Bailey, the first inside the park.
35,000 in Baltimore.
Nice. I don't know what their capacity is, but that seems like a good number.
That is a good number.
That was the first inside the park walk-off homer for a catcher. since the great Benny Tate, Jerry, back in August of 1926. So it had been a minute. You had a leadoff inside the park home run for the A's, Lawrence Butler, in their 10-1 win over the Braves, plus the Bailey walk-off inside the park home run, first time in MLB history. Both have occurred on the same day. So some cool stuff.
Do you know how many inside the park home runs there have been in the history of baseball?
I do not.
Okay. I didn't think so. I just didn't know if you came across that.
No,
note.
I had not.
Just
that.
Google it.
I am. Kids and being at the games and the baseball games. My 9-year-old were watching the early stages of the Yankee game last night. Like, I wish we were there tonight. I'm like, really? I was like, there's been not a base runner yet, and it's about to pour. Like, I think we'd be miserable there. And the Yankee offense wasn't doing much against Logan Gilbert until they came out of that rain delay in the Bronx. And then,
about time for first home run here at this ballpark. Here comes the 1-0. Judge dancing off at second. His pitch hit a long way. Deep right center field. Kiss that, baby. Goodbye. Big G with a 3-run homer. It's 4-0 New York.
Dave Sims
nice timing.
On the money, yeah. Here on the Fan, first Yankee Stadium home run of the season for Giancarlo Stanton.
Stanton, you can sit on my face.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He was worthy last night of such treatment. Austin Wells and Aaron Judge added long balls as the Yanks built a 10-0 lead on their way to a 10-3 win. Cal Raleigh did go deep in the eighth to match Judge in the homer department, at least as far as last night goes. But a nice win for the Yanks against the team who, as we said yesterday, came into the night riding 3 consecutive shutouts. They put up a 10 spot. Will Warren, 5 2/3 of scoreless ball for his 6th win.
By the way, real quick, because you played the Dave Sims talking about nice time for a home run here. Did you, I don't know if you watched the game, but did you
Yankee
catch
game?
when Chisholm's on first base and Michael Kay brings up the stat how he hasn't even attempted to steal a base in 23 straight
little
games?
Little groin issue.
And then he steals on the next pitch and gets thrown out. Maybe 2 pitches later, whatever. Yeah. Very funny timing.
Yep. Speaking of Chisholm, he doubled home a run. He was back at second base. That'll be the case moving
forward.
With DJ LeMahieu heading to a bench role. Here is Aaron Boone pregame, revealed that DJ wasn't exactly thrilled with that news.
Not great necessarily, but, that's kind of the situation we're in right now.
And as far as him potentially playing third, he's just basically said he's not physically able to at this
point. I mean, he's 36 years old.
Yeah.
And I understand the competitiveness. I 100%
well, it's pride with him. I mean, he's
pride,
a Golden Glove
competitive,
winner.
Whatever word you want to use is fine. But some self-awareness, too. Like, even he would have to acknowledge he's not what he was.
No.
And yeah, but that's tough. I've been in that situation when people tell you don't have the range anymore to compete.
But did you not know?
It's not that you don't know, it's you don't want to believe.
You don't want to admit it.
Yeah, well, it's hard because you always feel like the day you suit up, every time you suit up, you have what it takes, no matter what. So to be told that a younger guy who seems to have it right now and you're lacking that it, it's hard to swallow. It is. It's bottom line.
Well, Jazz, obviously, he's been dealing with a little shoulder thing here, and he came back from the IL that tried to make it work at third, and it wasn't exactly happening for him. So he goes back to second. Post-game, here was Boone commenting on last night's entire infield defense, which was strong.
Yeah, really good. I thought Peraza made a couple really good ones over there. A little bit of an in-between hop and a great pick by Goldie on one of those. But, I thought Jazz looked good. You know, handled the pivot.
So that all worked out well. What's up?
I can't get my eyes off the screen. It looks like Willie and his 2 gremlins.
You are
so much bigger than us.
You're looking swole today,
absurd,
man.
Absurd, man.
No, blame your dads. I can't help. I have.
I'm not blaming anybody.
Godly genetics. What do you want me to do?
You're probably, I know you're younger than me. You're about
former
the same
offensive
age as
lineman
him. I know, but it looks ridiculous.
Yeah.
It really does.
Yeah. I tell you, the tall intern's here today. You want to have him come in or really make us feel
smart? Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
Oh, the big Indian?
Yeah.
I would love to meet him. Is he, he's 7 foot?
Yeah, he's 7 feet, yeah.
No, was he 6'6", right?
I'm kidding.
Oh. Six,
I think 6'7", I thought of him.
Oh, that's still tall, man.
Oh, very tall, but he's not wide like you are. Like, you got the broadness.
Some guy sized me up at I take my kids to swim. Some guy walked by. He was another biggin like me, but he sized me up. And he was like, hey, I'm usually a big guy walking around. You're pretty big yourself. I was like, yeah. And my wife was like, you didn't give him much. I was like, what did you want me to say?
Not much.
And they're like, you think you're the only big man walking the planet? Like this.
Yeah.
I played in a sport where mammoth men walk around all the time. So I'm used to seeing, like, big, gigantic men. So it's just not.
That was always emasculating for me, hanging out in the jet locker room, waiting to get sound for you guys to be coming in, you know,
did you wear the towel? I can't remember. When you were in the locker room, did you wear the cans when you do an interview?
Like the headphones? Yeah, I did.
Did you?
Because I had to make sure.
Did you really?
Yeah, man. Like, I wanted to make sure that what was coming in was clear. Because if you get with an XLR cable, sure, it's on mic.
Yeah.
And if you're thinking you got this clean sound, and then you go back to edit it, and it's just all scratchy.
True.
Then you're screwed.
I never did that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those guys, the reason I asked is those guys usually get the hardest time.
Sure.
The J journalist looking
guys. I get it. I mean, I wasn't doing it to look cool. I was doing it to make sure I got the job done, you know?
Yeah.
And I had to be like right up in your grill too.
You was.
Mic placement was key. So, by the way, speaking of 6'6", you get the major league debut tonight of 24-year-old Cam Schlittler.
Yes.
I'm going to say that one nice and slow.
Yeah.
So we've had our troubles with Jazz Chisholm.
Everybody
now we've got
slows it down.
Cam Schlittler, who will be coming up from AAA to make his big league debut tonight at the stadium.
That's a tough name.
He has pitched well down in the minors, so he gets a shot here in the middle game with Seattle. Logan Evans for the Mariners, 6:25 pregame again here on The Fan and the free Odyssey app. In terms of Luis Gil, Aaron Boone said yesterday he's expected to begin a rehab assignment Sunday and will be built back up as a starter, as you'd imagine, especially in light of Clark Schmidt being done for the season. He is headed for Tommy John surgery. Yanks still 3.5 back of the Blue Jays to beat the White Sox again to stretch their winning streak to 10. So another day where Michael Kay has to be like, oh, these guys don't want again.
Stupid
so,
Blue Jays.
That's the way it continues to go. All right, I grabbed just a couple of clips here from Mike Brown yesterday.
Yeah.
So it was open, obviously, to the media because you did have some questions. That
wasn't a ton of questions. Am I wrong?
But at least they...
Oh, no, they did.
It wasn't just like, hey, here's Breen and Alan Hahn doing a two-on-one with Mike Brown.
I wasn't home during the day, so I watched it on YouTube, and I watched what the Knicks released. I didn't see... Maybe someone else put the press... I couldn't hear the questions.
Yeah. That was a factor.
Right, no one was mic'd up, just him.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I was
him at the podium. He basically just walked out there and gave a little quick intro. Here was part of that.
I'm honored and excited to be the new head coach of the New York Knicks.
Very deliberate pacing from him as far as all
very
these
slow.
Answers went. Yeah, yes, exactly.
And it didn't also, the one thing I was impressed with, I don't think he was reading anything.
Oh, no.
And
it seemed
like he hit on everything in his opening statement that he wanted to get to.
Yeah,
so.
Including. Hey,
can I ask a question?
Yeah.
A quick question. When did winning the press conference start?
That's
what does
a great
that mean,
question.
Winning the press conference?
Well, you hear that people will say, he won the press conference, or he's lost the press conference.
Well, I don't know
like,
when it started,
that become
but
a, thing?
A guy like Adam Gaze lost the press conference.
Yeah.
Well, he drank a bottle of NyQuil before.
That's losing the press conference.
But did it start with him?
Like, no.
I don't know.
Definitely not.
I don't know.
No.
But that would be an example of watching it and you're like, uh-oh. Like, this is the coach? Yeah.
Do you think Aaron Glenn won his press conference?
Yes.
I thought he did.
Yeah.
I thought he was very stern and very deliberate, yeah.
But it means nothing.
It doesn't. Ultimately. None of it means anything.
It really doesn't.
But you say that, CeeLo, but I think for fans who are passionate about our teams like we are, It also comes off as an indicator if this guy is worthy of the job or if he's right. You know what I mean?
It can be, but I'll give you a perfect example to poke a hole in that. Nick Sirianni had a disastrous opening press conference.
And his first year press conferences.
Horrendous.
I thought he had a bad one after the Super Bowl
loss. Well, that's a little different.
When they asked him, you know, after he was kind of demoted for certain roles, I think one reporter asked him, hey, so what are you going to do? He goes, well, I'm going to control the culture. And I was like, control the culture? You're the head coach.
Yeah. Like, what have you been doing since?
But that's a great
example. That's all you're going to do?
Yeah. Like, a very good example, though, of someone who doesn't look the part, and yet they win.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, yeah.
So
I mean,
what
Howard
does it matter?
Roseman has put together a juggernaut.
Yeah. Sure. But, I mean, they still got neat coaches to get these guys
prepared. Oh, yes, 100%. I think Fangio is amazing. Like, I don't discredit none of that.
How about Rex? How about Rex when he got here? I mean,
that's another good point. But I think fans now look at the press conference as a green or a red. You know what I mean? Am I going to support this guy, or am I going to be like, man, I just his body language, the way he commands room.
Here's what I would tell you as a fan. I want to see one of two things.
I just didn't think it ever mattered, and it feels like it matters more than ever this time.
Well, everything matters now because of social media, and everything's out there and lives forever. Essentially,
okay.
I want to see a coach that is either going to look articulate and intelligent, or fired up. And if you get the combination of the two, you really like it. What I don't want to see is a flatliner.
Blah.
Or an Adam Gase type of press conference. Or you're right, Sirianni, I would have been panicked.
Like,
after.
Bowles had success while he was here. And he, CeeLo would tell you, He didn't. I mean,
well, he did the first couple years.
Yeah. The 1 year with Fitzpatrick.
Doesn't matter. It's on the record. Nevertheless, my point is
his press conferences were.
People ate him up for his, like, to see those.
But you know what, though, Willie? That's part of it, too. Like, I did that Bucks game this year against the Niners that San Francisco won. When I was walking out of that state, now they turned out to be in the win the division. I know they were in the playoffs.
Bucks won the division.
They won the division. Yeah. They wound up winning the division. They were in the playoffs. Baker Mayfield finished the season fantastic. When I was walking out of that stadium in Tampa, not New York, they were screaming to get him out of there, like, fire this idiot, Todd Bowles. They hated him. Mm. And part of that, I do think, is the way you put yourself out there. They think he's just a dolt.
Yeah, but then a guy gets dragged for doing too much or playing and not being his authentic self. You know what I mean? Like, I'd rather be with a guy who's a consistent flatliner, to use your words, and win and get progress, than a guy who has to be win one for the Gipper and you're losing and nobody believes you.
Well, that's where winning matters most.
Well, I talked to you the last time I was on, falling on deaf ears. That's part of it. You know what I mean? When you're constantly charging a hill and there's nothing coming from it, you're like, man, you're just talking.
Correct me if I'm wrong, though, and I was never behind the scenes to see it. Didn't Bowles, away from the mic,
after all of us. But that was part of it. People never understood that was part of his protection.
Maybe, but you know what that would have done with the fans? It would have showed them a different side of him that they would have liked, because the fans thought he was soft.
No, he definitely wasn't soft.
That's what I mean.
But it doesn't
he gave off that impression to the public.
Yeah, but for the locker room, it's more important you're loyal to us than the media.
Sure.
Yes, but when you start losing, you lose the fans first. And then you ain't getting them back.
I think you lost the fans very quickly. Yeah, I think you lose the locker room first before the fans, because we're the ones who are we're living with.
Oh, yeah, I get that.
I will tell you, Todd Bowles lost the fans long before he lost the locker room.
Pretty much with week 17 in Buffalo.
We got to go. We can continue this.
I know. We'll get more Mike Brown out. Yeah. I need to. Next hour, I want to ask him a follow-up about another infamous press conference in Jets lore when he was with the team.
Okay. Oh, perfect. No problem. Sounds good. All right, Chris, we'll see you next hour. We'll come right back. More on the football. I also have something I want to play for you. You just talked about a guy sizing you up. I'm going to play a piece of audio for you and see if you have any idea what it is.
Okay.
And we'll go from there. We also have Jeff Ross coming up in studio in the 8 o'clock hour. Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, 10 in front of 7. It is Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo, built Fort Tough Studio. 888-808-1019 is the number. Eddie, there's a clip in the folder that I labeled as golf. I would like you to play this because I want to play this for Willie. And I want to see, and then I promise we'll get back to the baseball and the football and Mike Brown in a couple of minutes too. But I know you do play golf from time to time. And this isn't a stupid golf story. This is eye-opening, as a matter of fact. I know you can't see it, but take a listen to this as Eddie's going to play it, and then I'll explain to you exactly what's going on and who might be involved. Go ahead.
You guys need to get off the golf course.
Yeah, we will.
Go now. Pack up. Go now.
Go to the park
and go.
I don't know what you're doing.
You're not scaring anybody. Hey. You're just making yourself...
I don't... Hey. Man. Come on, man. Hey. Uh-huh.
This part, the guy's thrown in there.
I told you!
Man, leave my phone.
He just came at me.
Listen to this.
Man. I got it all on record.
It's a round of golf.
I got it all on record.
It's a round of golf. Bang!
Hey!
That's him punching him in the head.
Leave him alone. Hey, leave him alone, man.
I wouldn't keep going back, you fucking moron.
Bang!
Hey.
Bang!
Come on, man.
Bang!
I think we got it, Eddie. So how about this? This goes to when you're out on the golf course, just play with pace. So this was in Canada, and I think it's recently. Okay. TMZ put this out there, and I don't know why we're filming this stuff when you're on the guy. I don't understand.
Everything is filmed now.
It doesn't matter what's going on. There's a group, and I guess they're playing incredibly slow. And then there's a group that's behind them. And as they come up to the tee box, they realize the group in front of them hasn't teed off yet. And so the one guy who's like yelling at the other group is the slow player.
Gotcha.
One of the players that was annoyed by the slow play, according to the story, is a former NHL enforcer. So what you see on the video and what you're hearing is this guy who is slow playing doesn't realize what he's walking into. He's yelling at them for them yelling at him to play faster and to tee, like, let's go.
Yeah.
He then throws him into the lake. The guy gets up and charges him. And then I forget the guy's name.
He gets a knuckle sandwich.
three in a row.
Yeah.
Then gets thrown, like I'm talking about me, you, and the Gremlins, the way we look.
Yeah.
He gets thrown like a rag doll about 20 feet towards a tree, gets up, and still comes after him. So,
yeah, if another grown man throws you into a pond, stop. Man,
I am telling you, number one, lesson learned, play with pace. You don't even have to be good. Just move.
I learned that from one of my buddies who's a pro golfer. He was like, anytime you play with people who are good, and let's say you chunking shots or whatever, pick your ball up and move along.
That's all. And don't take 17 practice swings. Just play.
Just play.
Just play. Go. You can play with anybody. It doesn't matter if they're a one handicap or just move. But I only bring it up because you're talking about the guy sizing you up. For some reason, guys have this, I'm not big enough to ever have this happen.
People probably sized you up, Jerry. You just didn't know.
No, I don't think so. But it seems like the bigger you are, the more guys want to get into it. Why?
By far. I've dealt with it all my whole life. Even when I was, that's when I started, I think my first couple fights were against older kids because they would size themselves up against me. They just had
for
it.
For what purpose?
Well, I think it's an alpha instinct. I think it's just you see another big ox in a room. There's something primal that comes over you. Like, man, I get it. I gotta see what this guy's about. That's why you see a lot of big guys. You don't meet a lot of jolly big guys because they know that what comes with that, right? They're always used to being tested, or somebody's like, hey, so how tall are you? They're always used to those conversations, so it wears them out. Like yesterday, I'm clearly with my kids. Just finished that half an hour swim class. I got dinner in an hour. I'm thinking about making spaghetti and chicken, chicken nuggets. My son wants tacos. My wife's complaining because she has a laundry list of things. So my mind's spinning a mile a minute like any other dad in that situation. And the dude was big. I mean, I'm 6'3". He's probably 6'3", 6'4". And he wasn't as wide as me, but you can tell he gets after it. And we're both walking our families out the same door. And most dads, you leave the door open. All right, sir, have a good day, da-da-da-da. He's holding the door, and he's watching me walk by him, and I can see him open his chest up like a damn peacock. he went from being normal, then he just swole up on me. And mind you, I see him doing what he's doing, but I'm like, I'm tending to the kids, and he's like, whoa, you're a big fella. And I'm like, yeah. And he's just like, well, I'm normally the biggest guy around here. I was like, congratulations. You met another bigot. You know what I mean? Like, what do you want me to say to you? And he's just like, he's like marveled at me. So, of course, like, every day of my life, I get asked, did you play football? And I'm like, yeah.
He asked you that question.
I get asked that everywhere. Oh. And it is what it is. I got the shoulders. I'm black. I get it. and so he's like, did you play football? I'm like, yeah, I played football. And he gave me the look like he wanted more of my resume. And I'm like, dude, you're a dad in this situation like I am. I got 2 minutes to get these kids in a car. I got dinner. We shouldn't be, like, once two lions acknowledge each other, they look grunt and they move on, right? There's no point for us to talk about the back and forth about where we were in our life or what are we doing. But he wanted a full resume. My wife was like, you're kind of short with him. I'm just like, do you understand what's going on right now? I don't want to have a Harry High School moment with this guy. I don't. And it's not me being an a-hole about it. It's just me saying, hey, I recognize you. You recognize me. We're both wearing flip-flops. You have a t-shirt. I have a t-shirt. You're white. I'm black. We just happen to both be big.
Now, will you see this guy again?
Probably, because our swim times are at the same time. But I was just, you could just tell, like, he felt like he saw his kind, and he was just like, okay. Like, I was like, no, bro. There's no reason to swell up. Keep it moving, all right? This is not 3rd-and-1. We don't have the city on our back when we're going for the title. I got chicken nuggets and spaghetti on the deck. That's what I got next.
Talk about being a dad.
Being a dad, bro. That's all I'm doing, just being a dad.
Well, I will tell you that I have never seen a bigger man and thought, let's go attack him. It makes no sense.
It happens all the time. When I bounced, when I was bouncing in the...
But I get that, though, because there's there's authority attached to it.
But you're hitting it right on the head, Jerry. People assume when you're big, you command authority. I know a lot of guys who are enormous who, if you talk to them, like, oh, this guy, I could beat him up with a pull-up, right? And then there's others who like, man, I stay away from this guy. So it's a mixed bag. But I think people naturally see big guys, and there's just like, all right, let's wrestle. Like, no, I don't want to wrestle.
Yeah. Well, yesterday, that video reminded me of what we always discuss. That's you never know who you're running into. And in this case,
that guy's an idiot. One.
Yes.
Yes.
But also,
have you seen real? I've seen two fights on a golf course in my life.
Oh, they get bad.
And they don't end well because I think for the average man, They think they can fight until they get in a fight.
Right. You don't know what it is until you get punched.
Until you get punched in the face and you realize you're out of shape. I saw two guys go after each other, and like two swings, they're huffing for their life. And then they just bear hugging each other.
Yep.
Until the friends have to get in, like, all right, this is immature. And then one guy looked like he had a stroke. You know, it was just bad.
Yeah,
so.
I'm sure. Well, back in my kickboxing days, I remember my first sparring match. Oh. They said it was three rounds. I'm like, that's it? Three rounds? And you're right. 50 seconds in. It's
one
like,
round sparring for 2 minutes, you'll be breathing out of every hole in your body.
It is not easy. So look at you two. Wow, Ben's taller than you. I knew Ben was big, but wow.
Ben is a massive man. So it's funny because we're body shaming, not we, but Patrick Mahomes is being body shamed.
Yes, which we will get to, yes.
Ben, who I love, he wasn't an Adonis.
Well, but neither Tom Brady. He's the best winner we've ever seen. He never had the body of an Adonis. Same thing.
No, but my point is, you get it done with the body you have. Bottom line, now, I tell you somebody who is an Adonis. I remember it was, because when I was at the Steelers, we always played the Carolina Panthers. They're the fourth game. And I remember the first time I ever seen Cam Newton mm-hmm. stand face-to-face with Ben. And I was like, whoa. Like, Cam Newton is an action figure. I think, you know, he has this big outlier personality. Yeah. He's a big mouth. But from passing the look test, man, like, he's the one you want your daughter to get knocked up by. The genes, that kid. I mean, he's a Adonis.
Yeah.
I mean, and nobody makes Ben look small. He made Ben look small.
All right, so let's keep it there. On the other side, I was going to do the Mike Brown stuff. Let's get to the quarterback football stuff on the other side. Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo.